Welcome to Outbound Labs by Predictable Revenue, where we share the results of our prospecting experiments, what we learned along the way, and what it means for your team. Hey everybody, I'm Colin and this is Lavinia, and we're part of Predictable Revenue's Outbound Labs team. Today we're talking about deliverability. Actually, for this whole month, we're talking about deliverability. Why? Well, because it's one of those things that in our experience, a lot of people are not getting right and they don't even realize it. There are many more SDRs now than there were 10 years ago. Things have changed on both sides with the technology that we're using to send emails, with the technology that people are using to receive and look at their emails. And so one of the things that we wanted to test is what happens to our emails after we send them. I've been an SDR, I've managed SDRs, I've ran a service where we act as SDRs, and I think the one thing that little insecurity in the back of your brain always, you know, every time you send your first email is always, I sent these emails, but did they actually get delivered? And so today and for the rest of the month, that's one of the things that we're going to be focusing on is I'm sending all these emails, or you're sending all these emails. How do you know they're getting delivered? What are some of the tests that you can run to make sure they are getting delivered? What are some of the best practices and some of the benchmarks that you want to you need to stay underneath or stay fall within? And we really wanted to push these benchmarks to their limits to see what's true, what's false, and what is that sort of box that we need to live in with regards to deliverability. Because I think there's so much out there about email deliverability, but most of it's focused on marketing. There are some really good, you know, smaller sites that are focused on sales development deliverability, but it's just, from my experience, few and far between, even though there are a couple of good ones that I've seen in the past. So today we are talking about specifically the call to action. One of the things since the dawn of time when we all started sending cold emails, you know, it started with the sort of a referral approach. You know, there's a bit more of a direct approach, and we're testing a bit more of an indirect approach. And we wanted to see what the impact of the ask or that call to action would have, right? Because one of the things that we know in when it comes to deliverability is that Google looks at your engagement. It looks at people opening your emails. It looks at people forwarding your emails. It looks at people replying to your email. There's all this, like, they come up with this engagement score, and you as a sender are graded based on your engagement score, right? And so that's sort of if you think of it as sort of like your credit score. But then there's these hygiene factors. And hygiene factors, if you've done any like psych in school or organizational behavior, I think is where I learned it in business school, we are basically, they can't add anything to your score, but they can be a detractor, right? And so if you think it's sort of like, it's like a 0-1 binary gate, it's like pass fail. And I think the ratio is somewhere around 1 in 1,000 emails. If more than 1 in 1,000 emails have somebody on the other end hit flag as spam, then you're going to be in the deliverability hot seat. And Lavinia is going to go into a little bit about that in a bit, but I just wanted to, so that's what we're trying to figure out is how do we reduce that number? How do we make sure we stay within the sort of realm of what's acceptable? How do we get really good engagement in our emails? And that's what we're focusing on for this first session. The next sessions are going to look at a bunch of different variables that go into deliverability, but Lavinia is going to talk specifically about your call to action.
Yeah, so we thought, as Colin was saying, that when people are marking that report as spam button, that could be a whole host of different reasons. It could be we've caught them at the wrong time, on the wrong day. They feel like they've had a high volume of prospecting emails that day, and it's just, again, bad timing on their end, or they're just, quite frankly, in a bit of a bad mood. So we were thinking this often comes when you go straight in for that, when are you free to jump on a call? This is the first time you've spoken to a prospect, really want to see if they're interested first. So we thought by maybe changing this CTA and simply asking them, are you interested in that first email? It gives them another option to opt out, so to speak, rather than reporting as spam. So they could come back and say, not my realm, not my area, not something I'm interested in, which is fine because that negative feedback is just as useful. We know that it's not the area, we're not speaking to the right person, so we can then redirect our efforts.
The one thing I really liked about this more indirect approach, I think you're calling it the indirect ask.
Indirect ask, yeah.
So really innovative name, love it.
Keep it simple.
I don't know how you come up with all of this stuff. I'm just always impressed at your ability, ability to name things. It's incredible. One of the things that I like is, and if you think back to, if you read Predictable Revenue, I think the big template out of there was, hey, are you the right person to speak to about this? right? And I see a lot of people, you know, they still use that referral template. I've seen the evolution from that to a more direct ask, you know, assuming, hey, we've built this list, we know exactly this is the right person, and we know this is right for them. And I think with this, with the indirect ask, the thing I like about it is it doesn't assume that you know that this is going to be a perfect fit. It takes it sort of like confidence minus five in terms of who you're going after and if you think this is actually going to be a good one. This is in a lot of the templates that I remember seeing, it was more of a, hey, this is in general why I'm reaching out, this is how we help companies. Is that relevant to you? And I think it's that relevance, it's that assumption that you're not trying to go right for the meeting and book something right away. You're just saying, hey, I'm just trying to start a conversation here, which is sort of like there's another way of describing it, but I don't think we want like a rated R rating on the podcast. So I'll just leave it there and turn it back to Lavinia. But that was the piece that really stood out to me when I was looking at all these templates and looking at all the results of the experiments, is that it was less, we presume less, we assume less, we go in with a little bit more of an open mind, and that sort of softening actually had an interesting impact. So why don't you tell us what happened?
Yeah, definitely. So in the nature of Outbound Labs, we wanted to test this in an experimental way so we could really have confidence in the results. So to do this, we set up several campaigns across multiple of our clients, and we decided to have two parallel campaigns running. So one was our experimental campaign and one was the control campaign. So for both of these campaigns, we aimed to keep as much the same as we possibly could. So we had exactly the same messaging copy, we had exactly the same email list of contacts. We simply split it in half and put one into each campaign. We had exactly the same cadence. We warmed up all the email domains in the same way. So we treated everything across the two campaigns exactly the same, apart from one crucial thing. That's just what we're talking about. It's the CTA. So in our experimental campaign, the CTA was, would you be interested in finding out more? That simple, nothing more or less, compared to our control campaign that went for the ask, would you be interested in jumping on a call? Would you like to connect for a call? So the key difference is one is just almost establishing that relevance first before you go in for the call. The other is the more direct ask for the call.
So before you jump into the results, because I don't want to spoil it, what did you think coming into this?
I was hopeful, but I wasn't overly confident we would get results. I think it made sense, but at the end of the day, you're still trying to second guess who you're reaching out to. Even though we've built these lists and we always put care into how we build the lists, we look at the titles, the companies, but at the end of the day, you don't know the character of each individual person you're reaching out to. You don't know their circumstances. So whilst you can try and change some messaging, you never really know whether you're still going to catch someone at the right time, because that's something you can't control.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think there are some people that, like, if you look on the flip side, right, you're saying, well, if we know all this information, then we should use that. We should say, hey, I see you're the VP of sales here. I know you're doing this. I notice you have an SDR team there. Wouldn't you need help with this? And you use all the information that you've gathered to, you know, improve that email. You do a bunch of research, you personalize it a little bit to them. But at the end of the day, if you're going broad like this, right, the most relevant factor is almost their situation. And so by doing all this extra research, by going super deep, you're walking yourself, you're trying to, like, if you think of their buying process, you're trying to walk them down or like force that buying process to start a little bit earlier, when in reality, you haven't even talked to them yet. And so I think that was the piece this is what I thought about it, was like, okay, well, you know, maybe the direct ask does better because we do more research, we know more information, and we're cutting the crap. We're cutting all the nonsense. We're saying, hey, I've identified you as somebody that I think we can help. Here's why. Let's jump on a call, right? And it's this very forward, you know, I don't know. It's been my style in the past when I was sending emails. And so I thought that's one reason why that might succeed. On the flip side, I've had access to, you know, Lavinia and Kenny and the rest of our team, and so I've been seeing some of the results prematurely, but before we published these videos for sure, and so I had some early insights, and so I think with that insight, I was a little bit more excited to sort of see more, because we ran a couple of Ashley ran the really early campaign that had some great results, but we were all really excited and we tried to replicate it, and then we got nothing. right? And so we tried to replicate it with a couple customers earlier, and we got nothing. And then we said, okay, well, once we spun up Outbound Labs, now we want to actually do a proper test. Let's control for variables, let's control for client, let's control for everything. And so I'm excited. Tell me about how did the results finally turn out?
Sure thing. So we found that after sending each of these campaigns for a month and sending each campaign to at least 1,000 contacts to make sure that we had a really valid sample size, that the domain associated with the campaign that had the indirect task, so just the would you be interested in finding out more, stayed healthier for sometimes 3 times longer than the domain associated with the campaign.
What do you mean by healthier?
Healthier. So it stayed out of spam. It didn't go into spam, which is obviously one of the main things we're trying to achieve here. So we found that giving prospects that different out and saying, no, I'm not interested, really kind of took away that reflex of just hitting the report of spam and getting on with their day. So obviously that's great, but still the aim of the game is to get calls and get people on the phone and someone for you to talk with. So we also found that in some cases, these campaigns with the would you be interested in finding out more CTAs had a 3 times better positive response rate, and also some booked 3 times more meetings. So it definitely seems to be something in it from our initial research, and we're going to keep testing it, rolling out across more clients, and see what the results turn out been like.
Cool. And just because I want to put you on the spot, you said some, not all. So was it, did some show no results?
Some did show no results.
Or no difference in results?
No difference in results, exactly. I think that's the crucial thing. There were some campaigns where the control and the experimental returned exactly the same results, which were often no results. So this was more of an indication, once we looked at it in a bit more detail, that we were off with the targeting, the messaging, or our list building. So that would suggest there was something else there. But when we did find there was some results in the control experiment, so that was the asking them to jump straight onto a call, we always found the ones in the experimental campaign performed significantly better than that. So we've got some results in the control, but there were more in the experimental.
Awesome. So those are some really great results, like a 3x improvement over sort of the control going after that direct ask. I think that's great. And what I find really interesting about the lack of results and the ones that didn't work is that it points to, it really is all about relevance. If you're sending emails and they're not relevant to, and you're sending them to the wrong people, they're not relevant to what the jobs that they're trying to accomplish, it doesn't really matter what your call to action is, if it's soft, if it's hard, if it's medium, if it's sending them pictures or gifts or whatever, if you're sending the wrong message for the wrong reason to the wrong person, it doesn't matter what you test. It's all about making sure that you've really narrowed in on that targeting. And I think that's what we're finding as we start to see more and more results.
Yeah, exactly. And having that initial month of send is a great way to really understand, are you targeting the right people and is it relevant? And then once you find that, it's then the best way to speak to them, which is what we're looking at here and what we're trying to work out.
Right on. Well, thanks everybody. As usual, if you want to see more of these videos, you got to hit the subscribe button, which I'm pretty sure is over there. And then there's a little bell shaped icon. If you click that, you'll get notified every time our beautiful faces publish a video. So hit that button, and we'll see you next time.
See ya. Bye.